maybe because I've been doing it for 15 years, that people don't get it and push star six. And the nature of our call tonight is really interesting, because perhaps you can help me, after you really thoroughly learn what I'm going to be talking about tonight, you can help me find out what's right about people who can't push star six. I've got the toughest time thinking well of that in any way, shape, or form. It just drives me nuts. It's disrespectful. It's nyet. And you probably know all that, so you don't need to hear me say it. But please, the goal, one goal I have for these calls, and the reason I do it, I mean, you're not, none of you paying me any money to do this. I'm doing this because I love doing this, and I want to dish around with you. Okay, we got somebody who needs to press star six. Come on.
I'm not sure if star six works if you're on the moderator pin.
If you're on the moderator pin and you got noise in the background, call back on the regular line. Thank you. I love you. Come on, folks. We got noise in the background. That's it. Bobby. Boy, I hate starting calls this way. Yeah, I'm sorry. I hate to start the call this way. It's so negative. It's demeaning to you and to me. For those of you listening who have background noise, who are making a mess of this, shame on you. Please don't come on my calls again. So, thank you very much for those of you who are here. I apologize for my bad attitude. I will change immediately by doing what this call is all about tonight. This call is about the question is the answer. And there's a bit of a cryptic kind of quality to that, and I don't really mean it that way. I mean it to be literally translated. The question is the answer. There is nothing more powerful, creatively motivating, opening to new possibilities, to dreams and visions, and to the solutions for every challenge and problem you have, than a great question. And I've quoted in the stuff leading up to this on Facebook and in my weblog, I've quoted Tony Robbins, who says, ask lousy questions, you get lousy answers. Ask great questions, you get great answers. Ask the wrong questions, you get the wrong answers. Please hear that one, because we're coming right back to it, and it's tremendously important. Ask the wrong questions, you'll get the wrong answers. And here's what that means. Speak about what's wrong. Ask about what's wrong, and what you will get is more of what's wrong. Think about that for a moment, please. For those of you who are supporters, aficionados, disciples of the law of attraction, ask what's wrong. You're going to get more of the same. You're going to attract what's wrong. None other than Sir Albert Einstein. We should adopt that British policy of bestowing knighthoods on and ladyships on glorious men and women. But Albert Einstein has a remark that I hope kind of rings in your ears, please. And that is, hang on a second. MK, did you push the button by any chance?
Yes, I did.
You're a doll. Oh, God, I worship you. thank you so much. Einstein said, you can't solve a problem with the same thinking that created the problem. And if you take that out just a little bit, you'll find that when you think about what's wrong, when you think about what's broken, when you think about what's missing, what needs to be fixed, what's awful, horrible, any of these negatives that you think about sets up a place and space where all you can do is get more of the same. You may be able to find your way around the problem for the moment, but the reason problems keep coming back is because we're using what's wrong thinking about them. Let me give you another quote. This is from a turn of the century, last century, 1900s turn, teacher named Thomas Troward, who wrote some extraordinary stuff. In order to get a principle to work the way in which we require it to, we must observe its action when it's working spontaneously in this particular direction. We must ask why it goes in the right direction, as far as it does, and having learnt this, we shall then be able to make it go further. The law of flotation was not discovered by contemplating the sinking of things, but by contemplating the floating of things which floated naturally, and then intelligently asking why they did so. The knowledge of a principle is to be gained by the study of its affirmative action. When we understand that, we are in a position to correct the negative conditions which tend to prevent that action. From Einstein and Thomas Troward, what we're learning is when you are, quote, standing in the problem, you can't solve the problem. It takes a different approach. And I want to turn you on to a couple of things. On the website webcast page, which on all of the announcements in my weblog is the instantteleseminar.com event number. Go to that page, please, because there are a couple of highly valuable links I want you to get, please. Down on the rower? Merry Christmas. Down on the lower. Haven't had a drink in 2 weeks, so that ain't it. Down on the lower right-hand side, the first link is What's Wrong with the World. That is a PDF for you of a piece I wrote a number of years ago. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. The next link, the next two links, take you back to the website of my mentors, Kurt and Patricia Wright. Kurt and Patricia were the ones who evolved the five right questions, and we're going to take a good look at those tonight. I beg your pardon. They evolved their work not in a kind of airy-fairy or spiritual venue. Their work came out of working in corporate America, bottom-line, hard-nosed, bean-counting, problem-solving corporate America. And yet what they learned in their study of visionary leaders, of men and women who really pursued and this is the subtitle of Kurt's book. His book is called Breaking the Rules. These are men and women who really lived dissolving the barriers, removing the obstacles to effortless high performance. Kurt's been studying visionary leaders for 30 years, and these right questions come out of that work. One of the things that really got my attention 15 or so years ago when I first hooked up with Kurt and Patricia was Kurt said that what's wrong questions drain our energy. They literally suck the creative energy out of us. And if you look around, I'm sure you'll see and agree we live in a what's wrong world. certainly when you look at the news or news magazines or the news websites, what's it all about? It's 95% bad news, news about what's wrong. Even one of our most popular television shows in the United States, called America's Funniest Home Videos, about 93 to 94%, there was a study done on this, I don't remember the exact number, I apologize, of the funniest videos, you know, the funniest home videos that we have in America are all about people's misfortune. They're all about what's wrong. There are people falling off of ladders, falling off of roofs, crashing their cars into this or that, skiing down mountains and smacking into trees, hitting their heads on rocks, diving headfirst off, you know, this and that. That's funny. And that's what it's come to, because in a what's wrong world like the one we live in, something that's a little less wrong than we're living with gives us a little respite, gives us a little ease. And so we sit in front of the tube and we watch this negativity and we read about this negativity and we have conversations about this negativity. How many times have you talked to people who want to tell you all about what's wrong with their finances, what's wrong with the economy, who in their family is sick and in the hospital with what kind of malady, disease, etc. Now, I want you to try an experiment with me, please. And some of you are going to have to step outside of yourself, as you are now for the moment, to get the benefit of this. I ask you, please, to do that. It's worth doing. It's just an experiment. It won't last but a number of minutes. And when it's all done, you can go right back to who and how you always are. I want you to take the pulse of your personal energy right now, mentally, intellectually, physically, spiritually, emotionally, on a scale of 1 to 10. Now, 10 is the top. 10 is you couldn't feel any better. Now, whether that's excited and jacked up and high fives and yes, 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 or whether that is a calm, peaceful, centered power, totally present, completely connected. Either of those two things can be a 10. It means you just feel wonderful, whatever wonderful is for you. That your energy is just great, exactly what you want it to be. That's a 10. A 1 is you're flatlined. You're lying on a slab. You should be in the morgue. How you got on this call is beyond me. 1 to 10. You don't need to tell anybody. You don't need to tell us. You're on mute anyway. You can't. Yeah, yeah. Take your pulse on a scale of 1 to 10 right now. Where are you? And just footnote that, please. Set it aside. Because now I want you to do the first part, and this is the hard part. For some of you, it'll be the hard part. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to truly, honestly give yourself to answering the question, whether you want to or not, whether it's normal for you or not, whether you're so highly evolved you would never ask this question of yourself. Do it anyway, because it will be instructive. I want you to think about the worst thing that's happened to you in the last year. And what is it that made that so bad? What is it that made that so awful? And now that you've thought about that for a minute, take the pulse of your energy again, please, and notice, are you the same as you were when we started, when you first took your pulse? Are you higher or are you lower? If you're lower, Your energy is draining. This is a visceral example, a tangible example of how thinking about what's wrong drains your energy. Now, I have done this all around the world, from India, Malaysia, in Asia, Korea, to Iceland, to Costa Rica, throughout the United States, Canada, in Moscow, in Russia, Samara, in the Ukraine. And all around the world, the answer is the same. People go down at least 2 to 3 points from where they started. That's a demonstration of how what's wrong drains our energy. Now, I'm not going to leave you there. I got another question for you. Give yourself to this question fully and completely, just like you did the last one, please. What's the best thing that's happened to you this week? And what is it that made that something you appreciate so much? What is it that made that special? And now take your pulse one more time. Are you the same as when we started? Are you higher than when we started? Are you lower than when we started? And again, from experience in many, many very different cultures all around the world, what I get is people are at least back to where they started, and more often than not, they're a click or two higher. Asking what's wrong drains your creative energy. It sucks your power. Asking what's right builds energy. It grows. It increases your power. And again, for you Law of Attraction fans who follow Abraham Hicks, think about it for just a minute. Have the thought that feels good. When you are feeling good, you attract good things to you. When you are feeling bad, you attract bad things to you. The Law of Attraction. Asking what's wrong will bring more of what's wrong to you. Asking what's right will bring more of what's right to you. Now, for those of you, let's try. Let's see if we can open this up. We're going to take a risk. What do you think, Mary Kay?
I think it's good. Give it a shot.
Nope. Still all kinds of fakaka background noise. My request, please, if you have noise in your background, push *6. Pretty good. Nope. Still got some stuff going on. All right, well, I'm sorry, guys. Sorry for the person or persons who are knocking the rest of you off the ability to do this. Hey, by the way, for those of you who are on the web, if you've got some questions, and even though we're muted out, why don't I just mute the call out? I'm doing that, man. Hi, John. Candy is here. Hi, Candy. John is here.
Hi, John.
If you want to submit some questions right on the website, you can do that, and Mary Kay and my fellows and sisters will do that. We'll get to them as best we can. So for those of you who are on the moderator line, please, what's the most important thing about what's been said so far? What's most important for each of you, please? Somebody jump in.
I'll jump in, John. I'll say that the most important thing about recognizing what drains the energy is that recognizing that we have the power to boost it at any time by just shifting what we're asking ourselves.
Very good. Who else?
This is Mary Kay. One of the things that jumped out at me tonight that you were talking about was how valuable it is
and how much it makes sense to study why things work, study what's working, not what's not.
Very cool. That's how they learned to make iron ships. They sure didn't sit around the bathtub and drop in a piece of iron and watch it sink to the bottom. You know, they looked for what was positive, what was, as Thomas Troward said, what was the affirmative action, which then they could replicate. And folks, think about this, please, for those of you in direct sales and network marketing, and I know that a great many of you are. Think about this in terms of prospecting. How many times have you been taught or encouraged to get in there with somebody and find their problem and stir the pain and focus on what's wrong with their job and their commute and their indebtedness and their bills? And you're trying to bring somebody into network marketing from that position, that draining energy position? Now, please don't misunderstand, and I know that some of you are, because I've heard it enough. I've been doing this enough to know this. Some of you are thinking, this is Pollyanna. This is airy-fairy. You've got to be critical. You've got to use, quote, critical thinking. Well, folks, this is critical thinking. You'll see where it comes up. This doesn't ignore the problem one bit. It just twists it, turns it around so that you've got the kind of energy you need to come up with the most creative solutions possible, even in the midst of really tenuous circumstances, in real problems. And I'll give you an example of that in just a little while. Think, please, about working in your network marketing organization. The number of your team people, your partners, your distributors who are focused on the problems, focused on what's wrong. How often are we hearing about how I can't get enough leads, I don't have people to talk to, you know, this doesn't work, that doesn't work, And it's part of being human in the year 2009, and it will be part of 2010, I promise you. What I'm asking you to do, please, is to embrace the possibility of doing things differently. And using the right questions, knowing that the question is the answer, is doing things differently, dramatically, radically differently. And I can promise you that if you practice this with some diligence for a period of time, you will transform your relationship to most of the elements of your life. And I ain't just talking business. You will transform your relationships to your mate, your spouse, your partner, your children, your parents, your friends and associates. You will transform, literally, no kidding, your relationships as you begin more and more to focus on what's right, more and more to realize that if you take responsibility for building the energy and not draining the energy, it really won't take very many of us doing this consistently on a day-in, day-out basis to change this world. And in all honesty, that's what I'm up to, and I believe the right questions can transform this world. Let me tell you what they are and what they do. The first question is, what's right? If you use the links that I gave you, number one, you will find the piece that I wrote called What's Wrong with the World, and that lists the five right questions and an explanation of them. If you use the link from the website page, the energy of questions, where is your energy focused? And once you get on there, look over on the left-hand side of the website. You'll find some other entries. Use your intuition. Energy and questions, managing energy, power of questions, five levels, our beliefs. Please investigate these things. They are immeasurably empowering for you. The five right questions go as follows, and I'm going to give you the questions themselves. Again, the PDF has them written down. You do not need to write them down. And I'll explain how they function. The first one is, what's right? What's working? This sets a positive agenda. And there are many variations on this question. What do you like best about it? What interests you the most? What's special about that for you? You set a positive energy building agenda. Why is it energy building? Because it's not what's wrong. We've seen how what's wrong drains our energy. Now you're setting a positive positive agenda for your conversation. And this is a conversation with other human beings. This is a conversation with teams and groups. This is a conversation with yourself. Set the right agenda. What's right? What's right here? If you've got a problem in your life, a challenge, money, too many bills, not enough month, not bringing in enough people, not finding enough, quote, quality, qualified leads, start to look at what's right. I know it's difficult. I'll give you an example shortly of a couple of difficult situations where we use the five right questions to completely transform where people were at. The second question is the question that starts to rock and roll. It's a question we don't ask. It's what makes that right? What makes that work so well? Now, we love to cry in direct sales and network marketing about the lack of duplication. I'll tell you the major reason for the lack of duplication. The leaders who have succeeded don't ask this second question. They don't know what makes it right, what makes it work so well. And when you encounter a leader who does know, it is because they have either been trained, highly unlikely, to ask this question, or intuitively they knew its importance. This question transcends facts and data. This question taps into your subconscious. This question taps into your instinct, imagination, and intuition, and your spirit. This question moves from knowledge, the facts and data, to wisdom and understanding. We have a phrase, knowledge is power. I disagree vehemently. Knowledge is not power. Knowledge with understanding, what makes that work, what makes that right, that's power. And when you ask this question, you will absolutely feel, first question, hey, what's right? What's right here? What's working? Second question, what makes that work so well? What makes that right? You will feel your energy build. Because now you're at the level of values. You're talking about values. You're talking about what's most important. And your rational, analytical mind, the head part of you, cannot answer these questions. The Nobel Prize winning work in the early 80s, it was awarded to Dr. Roger Sperry, who was one of the pioneers of the two hemispheres of the brain, the left brain, right brain. The left brain is the rational, analytical. The right brain is the creative, intuitive. When the two parts of the brain are physically separated, severed, what they found was the left brain cannot distinguish truth from falsehood, fact from fiction. That is the job of the subconscious, the heart, the intuition, the instinct, the imagination, your spirit. And this second question begins to bypass the rational analytical mind for answers and goes right to your intuition, right to your heart. Now, I'm not saying left brain bad, right brain good. They work as a team. You see, your intuition, your imagination, your heart doesn't speak English or Russian or Chinese. It speaks no language. And so it cannot take direction except from the left brain. The left brain is the seat of language. It's the input-output device on your human computer. And your central processor is your heart. That's where judgment is, discernment is, imagination, intuition, connection with the source of all that is. So your rational analytical mind instructs, directs through language the subconscious. The subconscious is a servant, perfect servant. If you worry, if you're fearful and doubtful and anxious, and you give it those instructions, work with this, play with this, think about this, do this, what you'll get back are all the negatives. It does as the rational, analytical mind instructs it to do. And when the answers come back, frequently, if your rational, analytical mind is caught up with the belief that it's responsible for discerning right and wrong, good and bad, fact from fiction, truth and falsehood, lots gets lost in the translation. The pure positive feelings, the heart, the intuition, the imagination, thinks in pictures and patterns and sensations and waves and vibrations. It's all energy. And it's the rational analytical mind's job to take that energy and make it understandable in language so that we can put it into action. So question one, what's right? Question two, what makes it right? Question three, what would be ideal? Now, that question takes a lot of creative energy to entertain. Powerful question needs a lot of juice. Needs a lot of power. For those of you who have done a lot of personal growth and development work, I beg your pardon, you've probably noticed that in workshops, they never start off by asking you, what do you want? What's your dream? Because people don't have the energy right in off the street, right out of their normal everyday lives to entertain that question. So they usually ask, well, what do you have that you don't want? And let's flip that 180. In this process, we've built the energy to entertain that question. And these questions go in order. What's right? What makes it right? What would be ideal? And that's the visionary question. That's where you start getting into a realm of knowing, a realm of understanding, a realm of possibilities. It's what I wrote in The Greatest Networker. You have what you know. You have what you know that you don't know. And then there's this other area. What you don't know that you don't know. And question number three, what would be ideal, gets into what you don't know you don't know. Now you're flying in the stratosphere of possibilities. What would be ideal? It's the dreamer's question. It's the vision question. Question number four is very interesting for many reasons. What's missing, which if it was in place, would bring about your ideal? Now you may have noticed quickly, that's the what's wrong question. But it's totally different now. Now it comes with building energy. Now it comes as an authentic inquiry, not immersed in what's wrong, not immersed in the problem, immersed in the solution. And the powerful part of vision is what's not there. What you're doing with this question, what's missing, which if it was in place, would bring about the ideal. What you're doing now is you're looking for the holes in the vision. You want to know what the edges of the holes look like. What are the shapes of those holes? Because when you articulate them and when you are clear about them, that's when the universe, that's when the power of creation gets to know clearly what's needed, and it plugs it in. If you don't do this, you get square pegs for your round holes. If you're not looking at the ideal, the vision, and then asking what's missing, which needs to be put in place to bring that vision about, I promise you, you're not manifesting what it is you want in your life. Look to questions 3 and 4. So let me stop the music one more time and ask the people who are on the moderator mode, please. What are you getting out of this? What are you taking away that's useful and valuable for you? And if you don't speak up, I'll call on you.
This is Mary Kate. Can you hear me?
I can, very well.
Okay, I've got a headphone on. One of the things I'm taking away, I'm really excited about listening to you talk about this. Earlier today I had a conversation with a gal, and I asked her what was missing, but I forgot to build the energy first and ask the other questions first, and I just now made the catch that that's when I get back that, well, I don't know, if I knew that, I wouldn't be asking. You know, it's because she didn't have the energy and she didn't have the clarity to even explore what's missing with me, and I jumped at it too soon. So I'm excited because now I know to remember to go through these questions in that order, because they do build the energy, and in the building the energy, they give us more clarity.
In addition to clarity, or that's not well said, Mary Kay. When you ask somebody what's missing, and you ask them without the previous question, how will they know? How will they know what's missing? What's missing from what? But when you have given them the opportunity to explore, and literally, it's a creative romp around possibilities. What would be ideal? I didn't ask you what would be reasonable. I didn't ask you what you expect, what you're certain of, what would be even desirable. I said ideal. Ideal throws your chains off, folks. Ideal opens up the world and the universe to you. What would be ideal? His and hers Mercedes, not just one. What would be ideal? I own my own country. What would be ideal? I'm making 6 figures a month. Not 6 figures a year. We're talking ideal, not reasonable. Ideal. What is your ideal career look like? What is your ideal relationship look like? If you start playing with that, then the question, what's missing, which if it was in place would bring about that ideal, is exciting. It's not a drag. What's missing is the perfect guy, the perfect woman. What's missing is a team of leaders, 10, 20 leaders who are passionately involved, who are inspired, who are so enthusiastic when people are around them, they either catch fire or they melt. Candy, that was for you.
Okay.
Oh, don't. Okay. Come on. Lord bless. That was
they do
jacked.
Not.
That was too jacked up for okay, girl. That's better.
Okay. What happens when you can't find your mute button fast enough?
Right. You get embarrassed by the pregnant pause. I understand. What's missing, which if it was in place would bring about the ideal? You're tracing the holes of the vision. The energy is still building, and it builds to this last question. And folks, this last question is the reason I went and bought the domain. The question is the answer. If you can keep this question in front of you, day in and day out, from now on, if you make a habit of it, if you ask it for 28 days in a row on any subject you want, the first part of the question is, what will it take to? What will it take? What will it take to put in what's missing? What will it take to bring about the ideal? I ask these questions of myself every day. I answer them in writing, and I have found that there is tremendous power in doing it that way, in writing down the answers to these questions. What will it take for me to believe and be loved? My life is always and in always perfect. What will it take for me to master my thoughts and emotions? What will it take for me to transform the lives of millions of people for the better forever? What will it take for me to fully receive the substantial financial security and success I so deeply desire, dream of, and deserve? There's a guy who asked this question, a similar question. He didn't really ask it in this way, but it was the same question. And I want to tell you what his question was, and I want you to reflect on his success. Many, many years ago, after he dropped out of Harvard, he asked the question, what will it take to have a PC in every home in the world? His name was Bill Gates. The question served him very well. What will it take for me to be a six-figure income earner in my network marketing business? What will it take for me to be an enlightened partner for my husband, for my wife? What will it take for me to have my kids know 24/7, 365 for the rest of their lives how much they are loved? What will it take for me to end hunger in this country, in this world? What will it take for me to be one of the people who brings about world peace? What will it take for me to transform the way the world thinks about direct sales and network marketing? What will it take for me to make an extraordinary contribution to all of the people in my life and all of the people connected to all of those people? What will it take? What will it take? What will it take? What will it take? That question is the answer. The unanswered question is the most powerful, creative, motivating force in the universe. What will it take? Now, I promised you an example of using these five right questions on a definite negative. And I'm going to give you one example and maybe two. What time we got? 9:17? We're doing good.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we're flying. As many of you know, I do a thing called the TGN Weekend, Greatest Networker Weekend. And we bring together five people. They stay at my house. They don't stay at the house. They stay in hotels and inns surrounding it. And we meet Friday night. We meet all day Saturday. We meet all day Sunday. Katyusha and I feed you and serve you. Friday night is supposed to be social, but after about 20 or 30 minutes of hi, hello, how are you, where'd you come from, it gets into business real quick. In the second TGN weekend, I had a guy, and I don't have his permission to say his name, so I'm not gonna, but he was a corporate person, not a network marketing distributor. And the TGN weekend is predominantly for network marketers. Doesn't have to be, but that's how it works out. And he had a situation which blew him away in a very negative way. He was brand new at his position in his company, which is a vice president in charge of marketing, in charge of training. And his first order of business, his first real major challenge, task, project, was to do the company's annual convention. And he worked for weeks to do this. He put it all together. He coordinated speakers and the venue, and he took care of all of the administrative stuff and all of the logistical stuff. And they had new product announcements. They had enhancements to the compensation plan. They had motivational speakers and a keynote. They had training. They heard from the founder of the company. They had awards and recognition for leadership. Just, you know, the whole nine yards. It was all wrapped up and all there. And the thing ended Sunday at 6 o'clock, and it was a big fanfare ending and applause and yahoo, and oh, finally it was all over. And he comes down off the stage, and three of his top distributors come up to him, and they hand him a petition a petition of grievances, things that needed to change, demands. Imagine what he felt like. He had just done his very, very best. He had given that company and its people everything he knew how to give them and more. And he gets hit with a petition. Wow. Well, he felt horrible. He felt betrayed. He felt completely undermined by that. And he was angry. Now, it took me about 30 minutes to get him around to a place where he was willing to use these five right questions and look at his situation. From the point of view of what's right. And so I began to work with him with what's right. What was right about these distributors coming up to him and presenting him this petition. And boy, it was hard for him because he was so stuck in what's wrong. But he sucked it up because he paid $3,000 for the weekend. Had to get his money's worth somewhere. And he began to look at that. And the first thing he came up with, and remember, my role is a mentor coach. My role is not to tell him what's right. My role is to help him through questions. Reveal what's right, unconceal what's right. So the first thing he came up with was he had some real leaders in his company. Leaders who were willing to go out on a limb and confront him with this petition. Leaders who also were capable of gathering over 100 other leaders' input. So there was a real team there. There were people who obviously cared very, very much about the health and well-being of the company. There were people who had conviction in their point of view and wanted to be heard. There were people who wanted these leaders, the leaders in the field who represented all of the men and women in the company, who really cared deeply. They were organized. Look at all of what was right. It was pretty interesting, and that started to get his attention right away because he hadn't seen any of that. When he was standing in what's wrong, he couldn't. There was no space. There was no energy. The agenda was going in the wrong direction. The energy was draining, 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 draining. He was becoming more and more despondent, miserable, and disheartened. But as soon as he began to look for what was right in this negative situation, in this embarrassing, humiliating situation for him, this situation which negated his self-worth, he started looking for what's right, and things started to change right away. The energy started to build. He started feeling better. He started seeing positive outcomes, possibilities. And then the second question, what made each one of these things that was right? What made them right? And that's when the understanding clicked in. That's when the knowledge started to become wisdom. And the energy was building even more because it was all about real values, tangible, special, essential qualities that were there in his leadership, in his distributor sales force, in the whole company. Look at the energy, the power of that. And then what would be ideal? Oh, mama. And he was on a roll now. He started to look and see how the company could be so much better if the field and the corporate people were together in harmony, in real, genuine, active partnership. What if those lines of communication were opened up? What if the field had input into these comp plan changes, into these new product developments, into what was said on the label and in the training DVDs, and what kind of training were they going to put together? And they began to work together. They could come up with even more ideas. 2 heads are better than 1. 20 heads are better than 2. 200? 2,000? 20,000? 200,000? Imagine if the distributors, if the distributor sales force, the leadership, all of their arrows and the corporate arrows were all going in the same direction instead of running off in all different directions and dissipating the energy. Look at the power. That's what he began to see. And then what's missing? What's missing, which if it were in place, would bring about this ideal. Boom, a distributor advisory council. More frequent meetings between the field and the corporation. Channels for communication and input. The company's willingness to be more open source. To have the men and women in the field giving them the kind of feedback they wanted. Taking a sense of ownership of the decisions of the corporation. The corporation being far more sensitive to the needs of the men and women in the field, which, after all, is its major job, not return on investment for shareholders. Of course that needs to be taken care of, and so does profit. The company's got to exist, and it's got to thrive. But the way to exist and to thrive is to take care of the men and women in the field. All of this began to be what's missing, which needs to be put in. And then the magic question, the question that leads you to inspired action. What will it take to put in what's missing and bring about this ideal? What it'll take is get the corporate people together first thing Monday morning. What it will take is by Monday afternoon, Tuesday at the latest, we have a conference call where the distributor leaders are invited, where we thank them for their input in their petition, where we propose new lines of communication, new areas of responsibility for them to take on. And on, what will it take, began to generate inspired action. And I've now done this enough times. I had a conversation today with someone whose company is looking like it's in bankruptcy. What's right? My goodness, we're talking bankruptcy. What do you mean what's right? How could there possibly be anything right? But as you began, as we began to pursue the what's right question, things began to shift. You could feel, you will feel the energy shifting around. Now, for those of you on the moderator pin, please help me out right here. What's right about people who can't push star six?
Hi, John, right? On the call.
I'm sorry?
What's right is they're on the call and they will learn how to push star six.
One would hope. One would hope. So that's just for fun. But I'll tell you this, folks. If I took the time and looked at what's right about the background noise and that kind of thing. You know, perhaps what's right tonight was I just got on a roll and pulled out of myself stuff I didn't know I was going to say. Let God flow to me and through me and speak to you. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. When you're looking at your own circumstances, use these five right questions. And really, I cannot encourage you in more... I don't know how to encourage you in the most powerful terms to use a pen and paper, pencil and paper, not your keyboard. Some of you may be much more comfortable on the keyboard. I understand. But there is a difference. Sit down with a good-looking folio, you know, a journal, something like that, something special, something that sets it up. And a great pen, a pen that feels beautiful to write with and is fun and elegant or powerful, or if you're the funky kind, then something that's just great funky. And write down these questions and write the answers. The reason for that is, number one, it's real. When the words appear in blue and white or black and white on paper, they are more real than the thoughts. They're even more real than the speaking. And speaking is great because it's got a vibration attached to it. It hums, it sings, it vibrates. But as soon as your words are spoken, they're gone. They're off in the ether. When you write it down, it's different. It's real. It's a commitment. It's a manifestation. And the other part of that is, when you write yourselves, all of your different dimensions come together as one. It's physical, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual. All of that comes through, is together when you write. And there's a wonderful little thing. Some people think it's crazy, occult, or something like that. And I don't mean to honor that stuff. I think very differently about it. There's a thing called automatic writing. And it has the habit, quality, if you will, of bypassing the rational, analytical mind and going straight from the heart through the arm and the wrist and the hand and the pen on paper. And as you begin to write and begin to write and begin to write, you will find yourself writing things you had no idea. It taps into that gorgeous, infinite realm called what you don't know, you don't know. It's one way to access it. Please, in all of this, none of this I've told you tonight is the truth. It's all an idea. Try it on. See if it fits. Like shoes. Life's too short to wear tight shoes. If you're a size 8 and what I told you tonight is a size 4 or a size 11 or 12, it doesn't fit. Throw it away. Don't wear it. But please, give it the chance. Try it out. Give it a fair shot. And see what happens. Learn what happens. I promise you, that if you embrace, even as an experiment, like a science student in high school or college, or a research scientist, experiment with these five right questions. Try them on. Give them a fair shot. I've been working with them for 15 years. In this last 3 months, I've found four or five brand new things about them, things I didn't know existed. They will take on a life of their own within you. They are awesomely powerful tools. Use them to raise your energy, to attract into your life more of what you deeply desire, dream of, and deserve. They'll help you live in 3D. They will help you worry less, be less anxious, focus more and more and more on the positive, and do it for the right reasons, not some Pollyanna thing, but from a genuine appreciation of the powerful energy of you at your best, you looking for what's best. Try this one on for size 5 times a day for the next week. It's only 1 week. Only 1 week. 7 days. That's all you've got to commit to. For 7 days, 5 times every day, ask the people in your life, hey, what's the best thing that's happened to you today? And watch what happens. Watch what happens. Oh, if you got a 13-year-old daughter or son, you're going to catch some flack, I promise. Probably. Unless they're more into living and loving life than they are angst and rebellion. And they do have teenagers like that. I know, I had one. Looking forward to 2 more. Still working on the other one. So, Curtis from Winston-Salem wants to know one of the classic Fagnerian questions. Have you ever done the forum with Landmark? No, Curtis, I'm too old. I did Est, sat in the audience and listened to Werner, did the forum, worked on the team and the staff. But I'll bet that answered your question. Tina, thank you, John. It really works, but harder work. Well, I'm not exactly sure what my alien friend Tina is saying there. Yeah, folks, it's hard work. No kidding. It's really hard when it's really hard when you have a problem that just seems insurmountable. It seems like there is no answer. And it hurts, and it's painful. That's hard work to go after that puppy. And, you know, c'est la vie, such is life. That's where you get to know, you know, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you need to be truly diligent and vigorous. And when you are, you send messages all over the place, man, that you are a force to be reckoned with. It's a very powerful time if you can pick yourself up by the bootstraps, bra straps, belt, whatever, and reorient yourself to go looking for what's right. You know, if your little child, you know, busts an heirloom or a leg, go looking for what's right. Hard to do in some situations, you know. But the more you do it, the more it becomes part of you, the more natural and organic it is, and the easier it is to do. Let's see what else we got here. And we're on the half hour. Thank you, Karen King, for needing to be reminded of the 5 right questions. You are very welcome, lady. Hello, Dr. Bob from Costa Rica. Nice to have you here. What else we got? Carla says, and said early on, I need more traffic to my websites to generate more targeted leads. Any suggestions? Well, Carla, what'd you get out of tonight? Can you look at what you're doing and what's being done and look at what's right and what makes it right and what would be ideal and what's missing, which if you put in place would bring about that ideal, and then what will it take? Take your lead problem, your lead challenge, and look at it that way. For those of you on the line right now, what'd you get out of this, please? What's useful and valuable for you? And especially, was there anything new for you? Silence is golden. Well, I'm not going to put up with the... Go ahead, please.
I was going to say, John, what was powerful for me was a recognition of how draining it is to operate from the what's wrong place, and how truly, no matter what the situation, you can ask somebody what's right and what would be ideal and what makes it right.
Very cool. Thank you, Candy. Anyone else? Akram, Sandy, Mary Kay? You don't have to.
This is Sandy. I just think focusing on the ideal is so powerful, and you had a fantastic call tonight, John.
Thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate that. Anyone else? Let me see if we can open this up, and if by some wonderful chance it's quiet.
Oh.
Okay, the lines are open. Any of you who have been listening to this call, would you say your name, please, and what's one thing you're taking away from this call? What'd you get from this? Who's first?
Hi, this is the goddess known as Jackie.
Hello, Jackie goddess.
It was an amazing call.
And what made it amazing, Jackie?
What made it amazing was the realization that I can pull myself up to a better place by asking what's right.
And
it's so easy to slide into the what's wrong place. And we're surrounded by it. But actually, I was amazed to feel my energy rising just by focusing on what's right and it ideal. And the what would make it ideal question just got so much creativity flowing. It was like turning on a light bulb. It was so exciting. I was just sitting here scribbling like crazy.
Well, that's what that question is designed to do, babe. So thank you
it
very
does.
Much. Thanks
it's
for getting
phenomenal
that.
Phenomenal the way it works.
Thank you. Who else, please? Say your name and what's one thing you're taking away from this call this evening?
Hi, John. It's Keith.
Hi, Keith.
It's the same as the last person said, the power to be able to tap into a way to receive that power and throw away what isn't right to be able to grab what is right. And those questions just do it. It's absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, all throughout the whole personal growth and development and success and self-help and yada, yada, yada stuff, they're always telling us, hey, you know, take back your power. Take back your power. Well, they don't tell us how. These five right questions are one way to do that. You, when you ask these of yourself, when you ask these of others, you take back your power. And you magnify it. Extraordinary. Keith, thank you very much. Who else, please? Say your name and what you're taking away from this call.
My name is Francois in Denver.
Hello,
Colorado.
Francois.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's a shift. You know, that's like the other person I was talking. it's a shift that occurs when you ask those questions.
And what makes that important to you, Francois? What makes that valuable?
Oh, we're going through a lot of difficulties, and like my daughter, and myself, and family, and everything.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So, because of these difficulties, is that what you've been focused on? Have you been focused on the difficulties?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, well, difficulties and problems are like gravity, Francois.
That's right.
They pull you down. They hold you down.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you can shift your perspective and use the discipline of asking what's right and what makes it right and what would be ideal, you will begin to very quickly rebalance those scales and erode that negativity, erode that draining energy. Very cool. Thank you, Francois.
Thank you.
Who else, please? Say your name and what's one thing you're taking away from this call tonight?
Hey, John, it's Nancy Mills.
Hey, Nancy Mills.
Hey, this is a great call because a little while ago we would, kind of snuggle with our kids and ask, what was the best thing that happened to you today? And we'd gotten away from that, and a lot of things have gotten negative, so that gave me the idea of we need to get back to, at the end of the day, asking what was the best thing that happened today, and we end up our day on a happy note.
Very cool. And let me give you a piece of advice, therefore you know what to do with it, right?
Right.
Okay, you take advice and with 100 pounds of Himalayan sea salt. Try doing it for 1 week, 4, 5, 6 times a day, not just saving it till the end. Try doing it during the day. See what happens.
Hopefully that would bring my negative son up to the be positive.
Yeah, and he's going to fight you in the beginning. But what my experience has been is you can wear down a child in about 3 days. Now, you may have a stubborn one. It could take 4.
Right.
They start going, "Oh, Mom, leave me alone," blah, 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 blah. But when you are asked and you answer and the rest of the family answers, pretty soon they want to play in those reindeer games too.
And it's uplifting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Anyone else, please, before we disappear into this good night?
This is Carla from Roanoke.
Hi, Carla from Roanoke.
Hi. The 5 questions, what you said about, all of these self-help books tell you to take back your power, but they didn't tell you how. This is great info. I really appreciate it.
Oh, good. I'm glad you appreciated it, lady. Who else, please? Anyone else? Great. Thanks. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Got a question. What is that website where you have those 5 questions?
If you go to thefogblog.com, that's blog with 2 G's, thefogblog.com. Did you get that?
You said the, though, huh? The?
The, T-H-E, F-O-G-G-B-L-O-G-G.com.
Got you. Thank you, John.
All right. Hold on. Go there, and there is a link on this teleseminar. And by the way, for all of you who have people that you know who missed this call, the replay will be available using this exact same link about 15 minutes from now. It'll be up. It'll be automatic. Use the same link. If you go and look in that link, click that link, it'll take you to the web page where you can hear the replay. You're welcome to send that link around to whomever you'd like, and the links are there on that page on the lower right-hand side. Okay?
Okay.
There's also a link for my coaching page. There are a couple of videos on that coaching page, which would be cool for you to watch. They're YouTube videos, and they'll lead you back to the Greatest Networker channel, and there's some good stuff there. There's a lot of stuff about the five right questions, too. Anyone else, please?
Repeat website again. What's the website?
Grab a pencil. Have you got one?
I'm going online directly, so.
Okay. Grab a keyboard.
Type
www.fogblogg.com. Did you get it?
Okay, got you.
Great.
Okay, very good. Thanks.
You're welcome. Anyone else, please? Great. Thank you. Please, when you get off this call, if you're all by yourself, ask yourself, what was the best thing that happened to you today? And if you're in the company of somebody else, you've got a mate, a spouse, a partner, you've got friends, you've got kids, ask them, too. And for me, this was the best thing that happened to me today, so I thank you very, very much. I appreciate you. I love you. Good night, everybody.
Night, John.
Thanks,
thank you.
Good night.
Good night, John. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you very much.
Take care, all.
The moderator has left the conference.